Now, today we are going to begin our series of teachings I said, and I've been saying for a while we are going to do, so it's really beginning today. And I titled it Faith Basics. What did I call it? Faith Basics. And the reason is because there's a word you see Paul use once in a while, and that's the word establish. People should be established in their faith. People should understand what their faith is about. Do you understand? And I discovered something, and I don't mean to be critical about this. It's just a matter of fact. In contemporary Christianity, you know, we don't do much of that anymore. It's not, and I wish it was, because we have so grown that we don't need to do it. So, as believers, we must be established in our faith. And there is no, you hear the scripture says that if the foundation be destroyed, there is nothing that the righteous can do. And, you know, I personally perceive that there's a lot of foundation not being laid in Christianity in this day and age, all right? We tend to be more concerned about the principles of success. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to explain. We're more concerned about the principles of a happy marriage, the principles of how to find a good wife, the principles on how to make money, the principles on how to do things. Meanwhile, the most important thing is to lay a foundation for our faith. I hope you're getting my point. The foundation for faith is what is most important. So towards the end of last year, I began to feel in my heart that we should return to that and lay very solid foundations. All right? And the foundation is simple. That's the knowledge of the Word of God, the foundational Word of God. For us to be established, we must have an understanding of what our faith is about. That's just what it is. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, so today we are going to start our series, Faith Basics. And like I told some of us before, please, I'm sure you are going to be blessed, all right? You're not going to get bored. You're going to be blessed, all right? There are a lot of things that people do not know, and I'm sure even those of us who felt we knew it before, there are so many things that we still can learn. All right, can we open our Bibles as a beginning today to the book of Colossians chapter 1? Now, I'm going to read a long portion of that Colossians chapter 1. I would like you to follow me very closely. And I'm sure you are looking into your Bibles and not admiring my face. All right, I'm going to start reading from verse 9. And in verse 9, before verse 9, Paul introduced himself. And he described how he heard the news of the faith of the Colossians. And he said, because of this, verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, that you may be strengthened with all power, verse 11, according to his glorious might, for the attainment of all steadfastness and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, as I go on, I'm going to highlight some words, and I would like if you can write them down, so that in case I forget to comment upon them later, you will remind me. The first word I want to highlight there is the word inheritance. Everybody say inheritance. Inheritance. All right. So let me read it again. It said, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13 says, for he delivered us. Now this is how we came to the position where we could share of that inheritance. The reason he said is because he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, the words there, please notice the word domain of darkness. That's the next word I want you to notice. What is that? Domain of darkness. I'm using the New American Standard, so it might be slightly different from yours. In your Bible, just note what it says there in verse 13. It said he delivered us, another word delivered, we should note that, from the dominion or the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom. The next word is kingdom. Please repeat that after me. Kingdom, all right? The kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. Please say that, redemption. Now, these are foundational words of Christianity. That's why I want us to understand them. They are foundational words. You see words like inheritance, words like the domain of darkness, transference out of that domain of darkness into another word, kingdom. All right? You see the word, all right, redemption. And it said, in whom we have redemption, verse 14, and that redemption comes to us because of the constitutes the forgiveness of sins. Now, verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible Son, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, that's Jesus Christ, all things were created. both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. The Bible says in verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, that is the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Please, you notice something he's doing in the last few verses, from verse 15 to verse 18. He's magnifying the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling us of the importance of his person. One thing I want us to understand here is that if you notice, we don't often emphasize Jesus Christ in our teachings these days as preachers. We say many things, but don't emphasize the person of Jesus. There's a reason why Paul was doing this here. And the reason is because once Jesus is formed in you, every other thing is added unto you. Please, I want you to understand that. That is the most important thing. You see, as we go on, Paul emphasized the reason why I was saying in verse 27. He said, this is the mystery that has been hidden for all the ages. He said, this is the glory, he said, which is the riches of the glory of this mystery amongst the Gentiles, verse 27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what am I trying to emphasize with that? From that? Just like Paul was trying to emphasize, that if we contemplate the person of Christ Jesus and become transformed into his image, you will discover that many of the things we are pursuing in life are not necessary. Let me say this again. This is what Christianity is. I said this when we were talking about the fruitful life then. All right? That how Christians get results. I said life has different spheres. Can you remember that? That there are different spheres of operations in life. Now, what science tries to teach us is as if the sphere of operation of mankind is limited only to the natural sphere. All right? That is, the reason why you are the way you are is because of your genes. In fact, the reason why you are a criminal, if you are a criminal, is because you are genetically criminal, you have a genetically determined criminal tendency. All right? They try to limit everything to biology, as if human beings are not different from cows, all right, or from birds. It's just that we have a bigger brain. So one day I was watching a program on, I think, National Geographic or Discovery, and they were describing some animal rights activities, and somebody was talking, a man who is a typical normal human being, all right? He eats meat and all of that. So he went to go and visit with some people who are vegetarians. So along the line they were discussing, the vegetarian woman asked him something that, you are saying that if we're in distress, for example, you will rescue me before you rescue your dog. Are you getting my point? That the house is burning, I'm in there, your dog is in there. All right? That you rescue me before you rescue your dog. The guy said, yes, for goodness sake, that's what I'm going to do. And the woman said, why? He said, because you are a human being. I mean, why should I rescue a dog before I rescue a human being? And the guy said, and the woman now told him that, but he's a member of your family. Do you know what I said? That is, you rescue the dog first, because Bingo is a member of your family. Now, you are getting what I'm going to explain. You should rescue the dog first, because Bingo is a member of your family. The guy was alarmed, like, what's wrong with you people? I'm not saying you must eat animals, but please don't tell me that animals and human beings are not the same things. Now, that's when people look at life on the natural sphere. All right? Everything is determined by how much you enjoy yourself. You know, I was listening to Nicolas Sarkozy, all right? The French, is it president or prime minister now? Which, anyway, the big boss of France, anyway. You know, he gave the opening speech at the 2010 World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. And I said, oh my God, I want to get a transcript of this man's address. It's so insightful. The man was describing what capitalism has come down to. That is, we sacrifice the security of tomorrow on the altar of pleasure for today. I said, that's how animals behave. Once it makes money, he said, you discover that speculators are now making more money than investors. Are you getting my point? That entrepreneurs are now making less money than speculators. That is not right. That you have to reform capitalism. But what I noticed was that the man kept on emphasizing that, why do we want to destroy tomorrow? Because of what we're going to get today. That's how animals think. That's one sphere of existence. And so if it feels good, it's all right. Do you understand my point? If it feels good, it's okay. That's what to live by the natural realm. All right? To be fleshly minded. All right? But there are other realms. I don't want to go into that again. We discussed it before. The highest of the realms, all right, is the realm from in which the law of the spirit of life, which is available only in Christ Jesus, operates. That is a realm that makes a man that's supposed to be dead live. And they said, why? He said, because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in his mortal body. And if Christ is in you, by that spirit, he will give life to your mortal flesh. So when you were supposed to die, you wouldn't die. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain here. That is, you choose the realm you want to live, all right, in life. You want to live by the natural realm, or what most people think, you live by the, let me use the word, the soulish realm, the realm of the intellect. You think that if you're very smart, you'll make it in life. You understand my point? So you, and I'm sorry to say this, the church is coming down to that level. We're coming down to that level because that's what people want to hear. All right? I was discussing with the doctor this morning, all right? He and I were talking. I said, he was describing some things to me, certain procedures that some doctors use. He said, it's not best for the patients in this environment. He said, but patients are always asking for it. They're always asking for it. He said, so sometimes you bend, all right, to their wishes. I turned to him. I said, in Christianity, I call that the building of calves. He stopped. He said, sir, what do you mean? I said, when Aaron, yes, after Moses went to the mountain, and when he didn't see it for some time, that Moses began to build a calf for the people. Aaron began to build a calf. I said, why? Because the people demanded it. They said, we don't know what's up with this Moses. Find us a God that we can see. So after plenty harassment, I'm sorry to say, a lot of pastors are like Aaron now. They've been harassed into doing things they don't believe in and they don't think are right. And I keep on saying, I am not going to build a calf for anybody. This is what people like. They did not call me into ministry. I always say that those who listen to me, which one of them did I discuss with before I agreed to start preaching? I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. And this is what people like. If you do like this, everybody will come. I say, I'm not begging everybody to come. I'm looking for the avenue to output what God has placed inside me. Are you getting my point? What am I trying to say? People want to hear the principles of success. You want to teach them all kinds. Now, I'm not saying those things are wrong, please. I'm trying to explain something. When you want to learn physics, go to school. If you want to learn business methods, go to a business school. When you want to learn how to walk in the realm of the spirit of life, you want to learn how to walk by the resurrection power of Christ Jesus, go to church. I will not, no, forget it. I won't drop that power. Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. If I want to know how to make money, for my goodness sake, I go to a business conference. Even church can organize it. This is a business meeting. Are you getting my point? So we businessmen will gather together and negotiate on, okay, how do we pressure government into reducing customs? That's different. All right? But when we are in church, what do? We look for how to step into a realm of life from which the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is being released. From where God is commanding the blessing. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? From where we release the resurrection power of Christ Jesus, which Paul said he wanted to know. Please get my point. It's very vital. So Paul was explaining this principle that we must learn, all right, to go, we must learn to settle in that particular place. Focus on the things that are in the heavens. He said this is how life becomes victorious for you. It's when Christ is formed in you. Not when you learn the methods of doing things properly. It's when Christ has been formed in you. And the center of Christianity, Paul said it like this, that I have desired to know nothing amongst you apart from Christ and him crucified. I don't want you guys to remember me for any other thing, that I taught you the principles of knowing Christ and him crucified. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Faith basics, that's what we are going to. I went to all of that to explain something, that life has different realms, and as believers, you should focus on connecting with what? The realm, the highest realms, the realm of the spirit, from where the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is operating. And that's what we are going to see. And when we are studying these things, what we are doing is laying the foundation so that we can be found in it, firmly established, and we are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. In fact, I told my wife, I said, this is how I need to do this teachings. I was watching on TV, and somebody was describing how the sins of your grandfathers, all right, can hold back your blessing. And I told my wife, I said, look, I don't like to hear this thing because it's not true. You are talking to people who are redeemed. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. That's where you come from. You are of God and you have overcome. That's what the Bible says. You are not of your grandfather. The problem, why we keep on saying those things, is because we have not yet learned the rudiments of the gospel. We have not yet learned where Christians come from. We are not operating in the realm of the spirit where the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is dominating. We are still trying to network with common spiritual realms. I'm sorry to say, I see it a lot on TV. Sometimes you get angry with Christian TV and you turn off your TV. Everybody wants deliverance from something that's not plaguing them. If anybody is delivering you from the curse upon your grandfather, you are lost, he is confused, and you had better stop that nonsense. Christians being delivered from the curse on their grandfathers? What kind of joke is that? Listen, God, your connection with God is through Christ Jesus. You say, are you saying the sins of the fathers don't matter? It does when you step out of the spiritual realm that God says you step into. I've heard all kinds of stories. People are analyzing the sins of their great grandfathers. And that's the reason why they are not succeeding today. Arrant nonsense. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, including the sins of their ancestors. What am I trying to explain? Let me just get back to my message. I find I'm getting carried away. So Paul was saying something here, that he was exalting Christ Jesus. And I'm saying that that's what we need to do. Paul was exalting Christ Jesus. He said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, and by him all things were created. That's verse 16 I mean right now. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. Why was he explaining this? That whether it is thrones, devils, witches, demons, whatever it is, they are subject to Christ Jesus. And he said in verse 27, if that Christ is in you, then that is the hope of triumph. That is the hope of victory. That is the hope of healing. That is the hope of prosperity. That's the hope of fulfillment. That's the hope of everything you may ever want in life. In summary, he says the hope of glory. Let me just continue. We stop somewhere around verse 18, right? Okay, let me just continue from verse 19. I'm not very sure where I stopped. He said, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him, that is Christ Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Another thing, everybody, right? Say after me, blood of his cross. But notice, if you are noting it down, we're going to talk about the blood along the line. I like to say it all the time. All my enemies, the blood of Jesus. That's arrant nonsense talk. Are you getting my point? Shouting the blood upon your enemies is rubbish talk. So I was saying, so when you are shouting the blood of Jesus against your enemies, you have missed the purpose of the blood of Jesus. It is not for the defeating of the enemy, it's for reconciliation of all things unto himself. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? What about your enemies? Don't worry about them. You know, I told you about building calves. People, you know, let me say this. I know I'm getting distracted, but I will say it. Part of the problems, there's one man, he came to our church to preach that time. I was blessed by the things he taught. He said he studied even postgraduate level. What he talked about, mythology. He said the Greeks had their own myths. The Africans too had their own myths. Now I want to adapt something that he said to what I'm saying now. All right? That part of the problem of Africans is the myth they carry. So this is what I want to say. We carry those myths into Christianity. Are you getting my point? So you go to a village where everything is caused by a witch. A man he puts fire beside the straw of his roof and is cooking. The house catches fire. He says he's a witch. We do things that are utterly stupid and foolish and we say they are witches. You know, yesterday my wife and I spent hours. I was telling Chinny Doom just now. We spent hours because she was doing accounting for Kingdom World books and then our Kingdom World publications and everything. I answer question, I tire. There are times, Chukwubike is not around now. She called Chukwubike in Lagos to ask questions about some things. Do you understand? How did this one go? How did this one go? Trying to put things together. When I said, you see, this is why a lot of businesses fail. That many people don't bother to do this. Are you getting my point? They are doing business, they don't know how much is coming in, how much is going out, what their expenses are, they're just spending money. Even Enron learned that trick of accounting. For those of you who know the history of these recent American problems, Enron stopped recording for the public their expenses. They just decided discussing only their turnover. They will make turnover of $10 billion at the cost of $11 billion, but they won't tell you about the $11 billion. They say, turnover $10 billion. What am I trying to say? We do a lot of that. Our businesses won't do proper accounting. When it collapses after 2 years, you say, it's my stepmother, she's a witch. So when a man wants to make merchandise of your soul, you know what he does? He offers you from deliverance, not from your foolishness, not from your stupidity, but from your stepmother. Are you seeing my point? Nobody wants to accept that I am the problem. I did not do accounting in my business. That is the problem. It is my stepmother. It is my mother-in-law. It is my grandmother. It is all kinds. It has to be a poor woman who, oh my God. Somewhere in the village. Because she's not educated, she's a witch. All foolish Galatians, they will gather money and give to a jobless so-called prophet who will travel with them to the village to go and cast a witch out of a tree. If you are involved in such nonsense practice, in fact, let me not even talk to you again. You're not on my business. But you notice that it doesn't work. You've noticed now, all the deliverances they've offered you, how many of them have produced anything? Your business has only gone from bad to worse. Do you know why? Because your problem is not the witch. Your problem is simple accounting. Bookkeeping. You're running big business in the year 2010. You don't have computers. You want to? There is no witch that computers wouldn't take away. You don't need blood of Jesus for that. But when men, they don't want to be responsible. The lie that he tells, the cheating he cheats, that's haunting him. He doesn't want to admit it. It is easier for him to say somebody else's problem. So a calf building Aaron shows up and says, I have come with a special anointing to cast away all the witches and all the grandmothers and all the stepmothers that are against your business. Last year you saw them, this year you shall see them no more. You hear the amen, the roof will go off from the vibrancy of the amen. Why? Because human beings just love to be irresponsible. The other day my wife and I were talking. She was getting angry about some things going on in the body of Christ. And I have gotten angry before too, until a sword dropped in my spirit. Until a word dropped in my spirit that my people love it so. People love to be deceived. Tell them the truth. No. Tell them that, bro. Prosperity takes time. No, they won't agree. Today, I give a special offering. Tomorrow is my breakthrough. One brother sold his head and he got a hood. No, rubbish nonsense. Tell them that first of all, God puts an assignment in your hands. And you will remain faithful with that assignment sometimes for years. I'd like to tell the story of Kenneth Hagin, who for 12 years, his age mate, listen, be careful. That word they tell you, age mate. His age mates were making waves all over America. Gathering tens of thousands of people gathering around their meetings. All of them fizzled away. Some of them at the age of 38, they were dead. At the age of 40, some you don't hear of them anymore. For 12 years, while that was going on, Ken Hagin was going from one small church to another, teaching faith basics. You can have what you say. The Lord said, if you will ask and you will believe. And how many people are there? 20, 40, 50. He will finish preaching, they will give him an honorarium, $100. And that was breakthrough for him. 12 years before God told him, okay, enough. He now stepped into organizing small conferences and stuff like that. This is the point I want you to understand. His mates, in quote, were growing big. When he maintained his ministry, small, and he kept on growing. Now, listen to me. He finally died at the age of about 88. And which continent? That man didn't travel much. I'm not aware he went to more than 3 or 4 countries. Only came to South Africa, in Africa. Went to, I think, America and Canada. I'm not sure he stepped anywhere in South America. But till today. I mean, any Kenneth Hagin book I see now, I don't have, I buy. And I can say it boldly, apart from his daily devotionals, there's no book of his that I have not read. None. 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 It's affected my life. Affected your life. If I'm affecting your life, do you understand my point? And you've heard me say so many times, go and buy his book, he will bless you. What did that user want to tell? What story did that user want to tell? You see that prosperity or breakthrough or success, it didn't come overnight. It did not come overnight. But every little boy, he's 22, he wants to give one single special offering and break through tomorrow. The breakthrough you need is to wash your father's car regularly, iron his clothes. The breakthrough you need is to help them sweep the gutter in your neighborhood. The breakthrough you need is to see one private school that can't pay too much. They are trying to get off the ground. Help them teach. You're very good in mathematics. So what's wrong with teaching arithmetic to secondary, primary school children? You are looking for a breakthrough. You want to drive a car. To where? You're not. Look, cars are for people going somewhere. You're not going anywhere. My people love it so. They want sharp, sharp, quick breakthrough. Today. Listen to me. That is the difference between God and the devil. The devil is the one that goes around offering things today. God will say, walk before me and be perfect. I will bless you. I won't tell you when. That's it. Walk before me and be perfect. I will bless you when. Don't even ask me. Don't ask me. I have told God this year, shut up. You've told him for 10 years, nothing happened, 9. The problem with our lying testimonies is that we said, I told God this year, and then it came to pass. You forgot to tell us for 5 years before that. You were telling him every year. Nothing happened. Nothing. Now make it look like this year I realized. After that special breakthrough night, I suddenly told God this year, listen to me, I've told you, be careful about testimonies. Read the word of God. Is that okay? The Bible says, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain on the earth. A man has been filling his clouds for years. Finally, he pours forth rain. He said, that year, I told God this year. The guy has been telling God this year for 10 years. Eventually, 1 year, we jail now. If really he's working with God. But what happens, I would like to tell romantic stories. I keep on saying it. That's the problem with Christianity. Romantic stories. It's hard to say, I just kept on sewing that cloth. And I was in that shop for 5 years. And I was believing God. And I was doing what was right. I was improving my skills. After 5 years in the same shop, one day I got a bigger offer. And I moved to one level. Like I was telling my wife yesterday, I don't know whether it was by revelation or by just had understanding. I said, in life, you probably will have like only 3 major leaps. Your life will not always go up, up, up. This is how it goes. It goes almost flat, but consistent. Slowly going up. Then suddenly God opens the door. It jumps up. Jumps up. From where you were doing turnover of 10,000 naira, you increase to 15, to 20, to 40. Then suddenly from 40, you just go to 400,000. They start increasing gradually. You'll be like that for years. The ability to wait patiently is the major problem people have. They want to hear that today, and you know those who tell the stories, they like to lie. Because it moves people when you color it. I was into one man talk on TV. He was trying to raise offering. You don't blame him. That's what they do. God forgive me. I don't mean to be critical. But it's a fact. But because God has given me understanding, I was following the story. Then one day I gave this money. Not to spoil. I was following the story. Then one day this happened. My music began to sell. I said, did you notice that all the while he did not tell us he was singing? He was only telling us about the offering he was giving. Did you notice that? All the while, he didn't tell us how many hours he spent practicing his piano. All the while, he did not tell how many places he went to sing without collecting anything. All he was just saying that, I gave 20 naira here, 15 naira here. Then one day, the door just opened. Then my album sold. I said, bro, did you know what? Up to this point, you did not tell us you were singing. Why don't you teach young people? Their brethren, there are times you will sing for 10 years and nothing will happen. Don't stop singing. Why don't you teach young people? There are times you will do this small business and you continue like that for 10 years and nothing will happen. Go and read the stories of people like T.D. Jakes. Read the stories, proper stories, oh, not the one somebody picked from here and there to use to excite you. The full story. You will know how many years he spent counseling women before he preached women that were loose. The full story. Not the half story that makes it look like the man suddenly woke up one day and became very rich. go and check his age, you know that is your father's. That man is your father's age mate. I don't mean that's a joke. It's probably about 60 years of age. Because you see him jumping and jumping. He's not a small boy. He's not your mate at all. Some men who have been serving God for over 40 years. Boys want to wake up one day, copy two or three acts of the widow of Zarephath, and suddenly become T.D. Jakes. And people who want to defraud you will tell you it is possible. Hear me? When it does happen like that, there are exceptions, not the rule. I've not gone into my message. I don't know who carried me into this one now. No, we must be established. That's where I'm going. We must be established. We must be established in the foundational truths of Christianity. And let nobody make merchandise of our souls because of our own covetousness and our inability to wait. Let me get back to my message. Oh, all right. I was talking about Christ Jesus. As I talked about the blood of Jesus, verse 20, he said, through him to reconcile, that's the Father's good pleasure, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He said, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. When you see the word death and see the word blood, all right, they mean about the same thing. Let me quickly explain. He said the life of the flesh is in what? The blood. The word death refers to the shedding of that blood. Are you getting my point? All right. When he talks about it, he's talking about the shedding of the blood. He said, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, did you notice that this blood was not shed for your enemies? They were shed for who? For you. In order to present you holy and blameless before him with beyond reproach. And this only happens if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. That is, God has a plan, God has a purpose. Where he's going is the presentation of yourself before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And this only happens if you continue in the faith. Firmly established, that word established, can you see there? And steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, and which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. He said, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction. Now, let me just stop here. I'll read the rest later, because if I continue reading now, I'll keep saying a lot of things. I may not get to the main thing I want to say for today. All right, let me stop here. I was going to get to verse 29, but we'll continue that verse 29 maybe next time. Now, why have I read all of this? I said you should notice a number of words. Can you just remind me of a number of them? The first one, I said inheritance. Can you remember that? Then after that, we picked another word like what? Power of darkness or domain of darkness. Then we talked about the kingdom of his son. We talked about redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We talked about what else? The blood of his cross. All right. Okay. These are among the important things that we must explain as a foundational knowledge, all right, of our Christianity. Now, let me start. In fact, what I wanted to title today's message, let me see whether I feel appropriate, is man, past, present, and the future. I'll summarize a number of things in it. Now, I want you to understand something. One scripture there, verse 16. He said, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. For all things have been created by him and for him. Everybody say, for him. For him. That is Christ Jesus. Now, please get one point. No matter the noise that people make on this earth, God's purpose in Christ Jesus will still be established. Are you getting my point? We live in a country like Nigeria, where you will hear all kinds of stories. How Islam is thriving. And they are planning. Listen, Islam is just the current threat. You know what? When I was young, you know the threat? Was communism. You know, when people go around interpreting scriptures, sometimes they make me laugh. Apparently they've not looked around long enough. As a young believer, when I went into the University of Benin and I began to attend Christian meetings, I was hearing teachings, and people talked about the end of the world. And you know then, a communist nation was supposed to be the Antichrist. Do you understand my point? Russia was the big Satan, as far as Christians were concerned. And all the messages, even Brother Yonggi Cho, who taught us to pray for 27 hours nonstop, he did not even have the faith to believe that communism wouldn't take over everything. I don't mean that as indicting the old man. I honor and respect him. I'm trying to tell you the power that communism wielded that time. He had a pre-recorded message in his church. Now, was I there? No, he wrote it in a book. I read it. I couldn't believe my ears. He had a pre-recorded message for the day that the North Koreans with the Chinese and the power of the Russians with them will invade South Korea again. He said, I know I will be the first person to go. And he recorded final instructions for his church members that it will be broadcast on air. All right? All of them will get instructions and then the world disappear because he knew he would be the next to go. And I asked myself as a young man, why didn't this brother teaching us to pray and pray and pray have the boldness to pray that that wouldn't happen? You want to know why? Because of the power that communism wielded. Russia was to be feared. Once, a brother was preaching, and I was there teaching about the end of the world. And he explained, listen to this, that America will become a communist nation. And somebody asked a question that he could not see how that was possible. And he explained to us that all things are possible. Now, this issue I'm trying to bring out. At that time, communism was so powerful that people thought that is the main problem the church will have. This is the interesting part. Thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. Communism went down one season. And it was like a joke. And all the prophecies changed overnight. Instead of communism, it became Islam. Did you notice? You've not been watching TBN. Brother Hige has not preached to you recent times. That's why you don't know. Listen to John Hige. Suddenly they have changed. Iran and Iraq. While we were watching, Saddam Hussein died. They removed Iraq and became Iran. I said, brethren, relax. You know why God didn't bother telling us all of those things in details? Because of one single fact. All things have been created by him and for him. Listen, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Listen, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. He said, why do the communists rage? And the Muslim nations imagine a vain thing. He said, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. That is for all the kick. Communism kicked. What happened? They died suddenly. Now, are you getting my point? Communism kicked until they died suddenly. God looked at Paul. He said, why are you kicking against the pricks? I like the way the Yoruba man says it. He said that the egg that gets angry and jams the rock, what will happen to it? Egg. Said, this rock, I will show you that you are not the only one here. Guru, 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 bam, against rock. They just fry you, chop you on top of it. Listen to me. Anyone who exalts himself against the knowledge of Christ Jesus, hear ye the word of the Lord, he will fall. People make noise. Islamic nations. I said, Dubai will yet again become a desert. Like this. You never go Haiti. Watch Haiti on TV. I don't even trust that God come. Now one small angel they pass. Go Indonesia. Look, and don't forget, all this Dubai, they are on the shore. You understand my point? God will raise one single small average tsunami according to heavenly standards. And all the goods you paid for in Dubai won't arrive again. So let nobody, don't be threatened. This is, look, I like what Archbishop Desmond Tutu told the apartheid regime in South Africa. he told them that the purpose of God will always be established. And that no matter what you do, the best way to prosper in life is to follow what God is doing.